During the Cold War, the nuclear threat was plain and well understood, chillingly summed up in the phrase mutual assured destruction. Nowadays, the prospect of an apocalyptic showdown between two heavily armed superpowers has receded as a more complicated set of dangers emerges.
Pessimists foresee a time in which smaller nations in bad neighborhoods, as well as so-called rogue states and even possibly terrorists, acquire nuclear weapons. Other close observers have a more positive outlook, although even they warn that much hangs in the balance. Common Ground's Malcolm Brown takes a look at the future of non-proliferation efforts.
The operations center inside Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado watches for ballistic missile or air attack on North America, just as it did during the Cold War. In a worst-case scenario, retaliation could still involve a massive response using the U.S. strategic nuclear arsenal. But old assumptions are changing as the world confronts the prospect that nuclear weapons will spread beyond the eight nations now known or presumed to have them. Those pessimistic about the future include the U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld.
What's taking place in the world today with the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction is so pervasive that as you look out over the horizon, you guess 5 years, 10 years, there are going to be 3, 4, 5 more nuclear powers. And they're not going to be countries like the United Kingdom or France or the United States. They're going to be countries like North Korea. They're going to be terrorist states. They're going to be states that have relationship with terrorist organizations.
That is simply not true. Weapons proliferation is not pervasive.
Joseph Cirincione is the director of the Non-Proliferation Project at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington. While acknowledging the 1998 nuclear tests carried out by arch-rivals India and Pakistan, he says the current situation could have been much worse.
There are more countries that have given up nuclear weapons in the past 10 or 15 years than have acquired them. There are fewer nuclear weapons in the world now than there were 15 years ago. Fewer chemical, fewer biological, fewer missiles. The trends actually are pointing down. We are contending today with actually the few remaining hard cases.
Top of the list of hard cases are Iran and North Korea. On the other end of the scale are the arms control success stories, like Ukraine, Belarus, Kazakhstan, and South Africa, which have all given up nuclear arsenals. In fact, on paper, the cornerstone of international arms control efforts, the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, looks good. 188 nations, including the United States, have joined the NPT, which came into force in 1970 and was extended indefinitely in 1995. The treaty aims to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons and promote international cooperation in the peaceful uses of nuclear technology. But the non-proliferation regime faces a number of challenges. Peter Skoblik, the editor of Arms Control Today, says much hangs on whether the international community can stop states from acquiring nuclear weapons.
We're in a lot better shape today than many people thought we were going to be 30 years ago when they predicted what the 21st century would look like. When you look to the future, I think a lot of the future depends on how we deal with these problems today and with a few other unresolved questions like fissile material coming from Russia, potential conflict between India and Pakistan, potential Chinese reaction to U.S. deployment of national missile defenses.
Even relative optimists are worried and warn that the world stands at a crossroads. Joseph Cirincione at the Carnegie Endowment is particularly concerned about North Korea, which announced its withdrawal from the Non-Proliferation Treaty early this year. He sees the regime in Pyongyang as a possible exporter of nuclear know-how and material.
If North Korea goes into the plutonium production business, becomes a worldwide plutonium supermarket, not only will you have to worry about who they're going to sell it to, but also what the reaction would be of North Korea's neighbors. Would South Korea feel that it now needs to have a nuclear bomb? Would Japan develop a nuclear weapon? If either one of those two happens, then you've just shattered the non-proliferation regime.
Critics of the Bush administration's approach to arms control say that Washington has added to the strains on the international non-proliferation regime which is built on a network of treaties and agreements. Peter Skoblik at Arms Control Today again.
The will of the international community is dependent disproportionately on the political will of the United States. And a number of the actions that the Bush administration has taken in the last year have suggested that our support for diplomatic resolution to these problems is not going to be particularly strong.
He cites the most recent U.S. nuclear posture review, which has drawn criticism from arms control advocates who argue it breaks the taboo surrounding the use of nuclear weapons. They say the document treats them as another warfighting tool and not just an arsenal designed to deter an enemy nuclear attack. Among other things, the document advocates the development of smaller ground-penetrating warheads to attack deeply buried enemy targets, which can't be destroyed using conventional weapons. However, Baker Spring, a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation, says the review actually reduces America's reliance on nuclear weapons. Even so, he says, the threat they pose to potential adversaries must remain credible.
Deterrence means convincing any potential foe that the U.S. has a way to use nuclear weapons effectively if it must. And so that this idea that you're going to divorce deterrence from war fighting, I think, is a fool's journey.
Another charge leveled against the Bush administration is that it has undermined the non-proliferation regime with its perceived willingness to go it alone on arms control and other international issues.
This administration has a whole different view of non-proliferation. They're not really interested in treaties.
Joseph Cirincione says the Bush team isn't interested in reducing weapons stockpiles through negotiation.
They don't want to eliminate the weapons anymore, which is what we've been doing for 40 years. They want to eliminate certain regimes that have the weapons. They have a whole different paradigm, a whole different framework that they have put in place over the last couple of years.
Critics point to the Bush administration's withdrawal from the 1972 Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty and the decision not to pursue ratification of the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, already rejected by the U.S. Senate before this president came to office.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0 time.
The U.S. continues to observe a moratorium on nuclear testing announced in 1992. The White House says there are no plans for a resumption, although the president, quote, has not ruled out testing in the future. Administration supporters like Baker Spring at the Heritage Foundation say the overall nuclear policy reflects new international realities.
The administration is not wedded to the Cold War-style arms control treaties that were appropriate for that time because this is a different age, different era, different problems. The other thing, too, that is clear, which I think is much to the administration's credit, is it's not overly focused on the diplomatic and arms control solutions to these problems and looks at things in the military field and in the intelligence field to help us address these problems.
Baker Spring says the administration will use a treaty-based approach when required. He highlights the 2002 Strategic Offensive Reductions Treaty, signed with Russia, which calls for cuts in the number of deployed strategic nuclear warheads. That's in line with President Bush's stated desire to dismantle the legacy of the Cold War. His administration is also calling on the rest of the world to do more to stop the spread of weapons of mass destruction. John Wolf, Assistant Secretary of State for Nonproliferation, calls for more passion from other nations.
I actually am concerned that while this is a core issue for the United States, it's only one of many issues that seems to be out there for a lot of countries. And indeed, while we get into big wrangles with some of our friends and allies about this architecture, about treaties and whatnot, that the actual willingness to engage and, in essence, to confront the issue, either by tightening export controls, more rigorous enforcement of national laws, more rigorous enforcement of multilateral conventions, more rigorous approach to the proliferation wannabes, that's sometimes missing.
Sometimes entirely lost in the debate is the ultimate aim, as enshrined in the landmark Non-Proliferation Treaty, and that is total nuclear disarmament. For Common Ground, I'm Malcolm Brown.